over the last few weeks, I've been doing a lot of study in Isaiah 50, 51, and 52, and then in chapter 53. And I think we'll be dealing with these scriptures over the next few weeks as God gives us the liberty to do so. Now, in this message, I want to direct your attention to the last two verses of chapter 50. And this is my subject. Here's the question that I'm asking: walking in darkness or light? That is, are you walking in darkness, or are you walking in light? You see, these verses set forth before us two kinds of people. First of all, in the 10th verse, here are the children of light, but they're walking in darkness. Look at verse 10, Isaiah 50. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, feareth Jehovah, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? You're children of light. You see, it's only the children of light who fear the Lord. It's only the children of light that obey the voice of God's servant. But he says they walk in darkness. They have no light. Well, here's the counsel of God to these folks. God's children, children of light. God's the Father of lights. His children, we're the children of light. Here's what God says to his children of light that walk in darkness. Let him trust. Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and let him stay on his God. That's God's word to the children of light who are walking in darkness. Then in the next verse, he sets before us these who are children of darkness, but they walk in light. He says to this other group, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that is, you who compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. The Lord tells us there are in this world just two groups of people. And in the end, we'll know that when God brings this thing we call time to a standstill, when he ends it. Like the songwriter said, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, it will be found in that day that throughout all of man's history, go all the way back 6,000 years ago to the very first man, Adam, from that man right up until today, really, they're just two groups of people. And all the way to the end, just two groups of people, God's people and those that are not God's people. Or, as we have it in these two verses, there will be discovered then those who are the children of light and those who are the children of darkness. That is, the righteous and the wicked. Now we know who the judge is going to be in that day of judgment. In that day when we stand before him and all secrets will be made known. And everybody will be seen to be what they really are. In this world, there's a lot of pretending, a lot of hypocrisy. A lot of folks wear a garment of religion, but in that day, everybody will be exposed for what they really are. Some will be the children of light. Those who will be shown to be the children of light, they will have been the children of light forever. They're God's people. Those who are the children of darkness, they will be discovered to be the children of darkness forever. And from that day forward, if I can say it's a day, from the day of judgment on, there will still just be those two groups of people. The righteous, those who are righteous through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, those who are washed in His blood, those who stand in His beauties, righteous before God, the righteous and the wicked. That's all there will be. And really, that's all there's ever been. Just two groups of people. In that day, the issue will be righteousness. That's the standard for judgment. The standard for judgment is not going to be, were you generous to those less fortunate than yourself? The standard in that day is not going to be, did you live a life of morality? The standard in that day is not going to be, did you endeavor to live by the Ten Commandments? The standard in that day is this, are you perfect? Anybody who's found to be less than absolutely perfect within and without, God's going to cast you into hell.
Amen.
There will be those who are perfect, those who are righteous, those who are beautiful, made beautiful through the comeliness of Christ Jesus, and then there's going to be everybody else. The wicked, the unbelieving, just two groups of people. And our Lord is going to be the judge. God's own Son. We read in the book of Revelation, at the end of chapter 6, the wicked, in that day they will cry to the rocks and to the mountains, would you fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb? Of the Lamb. The Lamb who sits on His throne of judgment. The Lamb whose eyes are filled with wrath and vengeance and fire and anger. Hide us from the face of the Lamb of God. Now the righteous in that day, we will not be fearful to stand before God, because we look forward to standing before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day with boldness. With boldness. And the reason we can even be bold now is because we're made righteous through His perfections. In the Lord Jesus, we don't have any sin. There's no iniquity. There are no transgressions. In fact, we read in the Bible, in that day of judgment, in that awesome, holy day of God's wrath and God's vengeance and God's judgment, the sins and the iniquities of God's people shall be sought for. All of the books of heaven shall be gone through, and there shall be found no blemish, no spot, no sin, no wrinkle in the records of God against any of His people. We stand in the beauties of Christ Jesus. And we shall stand then, even as we stand now, washed in the blood, robed in the garments of his righteousness. Just two groups of people. The righteous and the wicked. Our Lord likened these two groups to being as the wheat and the chaff. The Lord said that in that day of judgment, he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather his wheat, into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Just two groups, wheat and chaff. The Lord said on one occasion to his disciples, his teaching in parables, he said, well, the kingdom of heaven is like to a man who sowed good seed in a field. But an enemy, he came during the night and he sowed some tares among the wheat. And when the wheat and the tares began to grow up together, the servants of the landowner said, you sowed good seed. We saw the seed that you sowed. You only sowed good seed. Well, where did these tares come from? Because, you know, tares don't come from good seed. Good fruit comes from good seed. That's where the wheat comes from, the good seed. And he says, an enemy has done this. And the servant said, well, wilt thou that we go out and we'll just rip up the tares? We'll dig up all the tares. He said, no, don't do that. Lest as you gather up the tares, you also root up some of the wheat. So just let them grow together. See, you don't know who the wheat and the tares are. We can't see the heart. There may be people here this morning who appear to be like wheat and not be wheat at all. But the only discernment we've got is based upon what these eyes see. So here you come to the assembly of the saints of God, you've got your Bible. Well, I'm looking around here, you seem pretty interested to me. And from my perspective, up here looking over the fields, and I know I'm just sowing good seed, because the gospel is the good seed. The word of God is the good seed. The good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's the good seed. Salvation altogether by grace, that's the good seed. That's all we're sowing. That's all that's ever been sown from this pulpit is good seed. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You look back through, some of you have been here from day one, and you look through the years and you say, all that's ever been sowed in this field is good seed. And yet, every once in a while, there's got to be some tares. Who sowed those? The enemy. A preacher, I can tell who's saved and who's not saved. Well, bless your heart, you have unusual discernment. You have an ability that no other human being has got. You can see the heart. One thing you don't know is the heart. In fact, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The scripture says, who can know it? You can't know my heart. And you know what's even more? You can't even trust or know your own heart. God, who knows the heart, he sees things they are. And if we have any sense at all, we'd say, oh Lord, right now, oh Lord, I've been sitting in this pew for years. And I think I'm a believer. I love this gospel. But Lord, if I haven't loved you before, it's what old John Newton said. And he was a hymn writer and he was a preacher. But he said, Lord, if I haven't loved you before, let me start loving you today.
Amen.
Today. I'm not going to base my assurance on the fact that I've been in church, I've been in a Sovereign Grace church, or even I've been a preacher of Sovereign Grace for all of these years. That's no basis for assurance. The only basis for assurance is the sure Word of God that says, He that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
That's God's Word. You can't trust anybody's Word but God's Word, but you can sure enough trust His Word. They sang about hope. Who is your hope? Is He, Christ Jesus, all of your hope? Well, I don't know about you, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's all. That's where my hope's building. I'm building on Him because everything else is sinking sand. Your works, sinking sand. Partaking of the ordinances, sinking sand. Your faith, sinking sand. Your repentance, sinking sand. Doing a lot of good deeds for your neighbors and in society, sinking sand. But if you build on the rock, build on the rock, you on a foundation that's going to last forever. Let the storms come, the storms of life. Let the winds of trouble blow. The waves of affliction, they may seem sometimes like they're going to just wash you away. If you own the rock, they're not going to wash you away. You just huddle down a little closer to the rock. Sometimes I feel like I'm standing on a rock. Sometimes I feel like I'm sitting on a rock. And sometimes I just lay flat down on the rock. But I'm still on a rock. And by God's grace, I'm not getting off the rock. When the winds get to blowing real hard, you're standing up on the rock, you may get, you know how it is. But get down low on the rock. Get down low. That's our position anyway. Get down low on the rock. Humble yourself before the Lord, before the rock. There's just two groups of people. I'm telling you. There's just two groups of people. We got all kinds of classifications today. God's got two classes. The righteous and the wicked. That's it. Those who are the children of light. And even the children of light sometimes walk in darkness now. Walk in the darkness of affliction. Walk in the darkness of trouble. Even walk in the darkness of doubt. And you show me a child of light who seems to be always in the brilliant sunshine and they always got a silly religious grin on their face. I say, oh, there's something wrong there. Because the fact of the matter is, and I'll go into this more this evening, you learn more as children of light, you learn more in the darkness than you do in the light. That's right. You see, all of the promises of God that are yea and amen in Jesus Christ, you don't try those promises out in the bright sunshine. It's when the darkness comes. It's when the affliction comes. It's when those troubles come. Agonies, things that break your heart. Troubles of the soul, troubles of the heart, emotional troubles, family troubles, financial troubles. All of these troubles, and you say, oh, it's so dark. That's when you run to the promises of God, and that's when you find that they're real. It's like the stars in the sky. They're up there all the time. But you can't see them till it's dark. And when it's dark, then you say, boy, they are beautiful, aren't they? And that's all the promises of God. They just sparkle. They sparkle in the Word of God. And they're there for us to make use of and to lay hold of, lay claim to them, and get some reprieve for our souls and comfort for our souls. You don't see them during daytime. But you let one of those night seasons come. You let things get dark in your life. A death. Boy, I tell you, suddenly the sun's gone. Sickness, serious illness, family issues, your children, your parents, your brother, your sister, your own physical well-being. The doctor gives you some news, and boy, you just see that cloud coming over the sun. And all gets dark. But when all gets dark, children of light, that's when you see the stars begin to glitter. And all the promises of God. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're my child. You're my child. Everybody else may forget you, but I'm not going to forget you. That's when the stars twinkle at night. Children of light. Sometimes we walk in darkness. But bless God, we're still the children of light. He's brought us into the light. He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's own Son. That's the kingdom of light. Amen. But there are others, children of darkness. Children of darkness. Darkness in the Bible stands for error. So often it stands for error, ignorance, false religion, lies, children of darkness. And amazingly, they try to walk in their own light, the light of their self-righteousness. Sparks, the sparks, that's what it says in verse 11, the sparks. But those sparks don't amount to anything. Those sparks go and say, whoa, wow, those sparks wonderful. And then you see them and they're gone like a shooting star. In fact, Jude likens false prophets to those shooting stars. Whoa, they dazzle us for a little bit. I bet you in this congregation, you've seen come in here, somebody come in here, and dazzle you for a little while. Say, man alive, look at that guy. Look at that guy. I sure am glad they're coming to our church. And they come in, they're so friendly. You say, woo, man, they're going to set this place on fire. We've just never had anybody quite like that. And then they're like a shooting star. As quickly as they came in, they're gone. They just burn themselves out. Children of darkness, walking in their own light. Let me tell you something. You're either one of the children of light, even though you may walk in darkness, or you one of the children of darkness, even though you may walk in light that you've kindled for yourself. But everybody's one in one group or the other, one camp or the other. Everybody's a sheep or a goat, one or the other. Either a believer or an unbeliever. Either one of God's elect or one of the reprobate. You see, in this world, there are only two groups of people. They're the Abels of the world, and they're the Cains of the world. That's all there are. They're the Jacobs of the world. They're the Esaus of the world. There's some people in this world God loves with an everlasting love in Jesus Christ the Lord. And there's some other people in this world God doesn't love them at all. And He showed this love to His Jacobs before the world began and before we had done anything either good or evil. That's what it says in Romans chapter 9. It's election under grace. Was an election by God unto salvation of an innumerable group of people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And it was an election before we fell in Adam. All of the human race was spread out before the eternal, infinite God. And according to His eternal purpose of grace, He chose some unto salvation in Jesus Christ. And the rest of them, according to Romans chapter 11, are called the rest. It's just the rest. People, preacher, don't you think that God has a general love for everybody? No, I don't. The Bible doesn't set forth that. God has a love for His people. It's a love in Jesus Christ. It's a love that cannot be diminished. It's a love that is always fervent and flaming to a full flame in the heart of God Himself. It's a love that led Him to send His Son into this world to redeem His people from the curse of the law. It's a love that won't let them perish.
Amen.
What about the rest, preacher? God doesn't love them. He says He hates them. The Bible says, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." And I'm not going to apologize for God. Let me tell you something. It's His world. We're in Psalm 24 this morning. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everybody that's in the earth, everybody belongs to God. What God does with you and what God does with me, that's His business. He said, "I'm the potter, you're the clay. And I'm going to make some vessels under mercy to display the glory of my grace and the satisfaction of my justice in the death of my Son. And there's some other vessels that are vessels of dishonor. I'm going to leave them. I'm not going to do anything for them. I'll leave them to their ignorance, to their sin, to their own spiritual death. They'll perish forever." That's God's business. If you've got a problem with that, you take it up with God. But I'd say, who are you to speak against the Maker? Doesn't the potter have the right to do what he will with his own? If I was you, I'd shut your mouth before you start going to God mouthing off about His sovereign rights to do what He wants. I'd go to God, bow down at His feet, and fall down and kiss His feet and say, "Lord, if You will, You can show me mercy. I'm the vilest of the vile, and You don't owe me anything. All I got coming is death and judgment and hell. That's all I've ever earned, because the wages of sin is death. But oh God, if You will, You can show me mercy." He's full of mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. But mind you, He's going to give it to who He will. If that's too tough for you, you just need to swallow. Because that's the truth of God's Word. There's some people God loves and some people God hates. I heard somebody say that we don't preach that God's got a general love for everybody. We lose all the respect of the lost, and they'll come to the conclusion that God's only got a kindness and He's only got a love for His elect. Well, that is the way it is. God's got an everlasting kindness and love only for His elect. You say, "What if I'm not one of the elect?" Well, you're a goner. That's right. You're going to perish. And now you can get mad, you can get upset, or you can fall on your face before God. And if you fall on your face before God in pursuit of mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, I'll tell you, the one who's bringing you down to your knees and bringing you down to call on Him is the Lord of glory. And He's doing it because you're one of the children of light. One of the children of God. Just two groups of people, the offspring of God and the offspring of Satan. God's our Father, and the Lord Jesus looked those self-righteous Jews. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." That's what He said. And let me tell you, if you are of your father, the devil, you're dead while you live. You're dead while you live. You're as good for hell as if you're already there. Because you see, the children of Satan never become the children of God. Goats don't ever become sheep. It don't work that way. Well, who knows the difference? God does. God does. Romans 11:7, there's the elect and there's the rest who are blinded. Who are blinded. See, I'm not seeking credibility with the world. I'm not trying to get the world to listen to what I've got to say. Because the world's not going to listen to what I've got to say. I'll tell you who will listen. The children of light will listen. Well, I don't like your message. Nice knowing you. Goodbye. But somebody's going to like it. I heard a message Brother Mahan preached years ago on the trail of God's sheep. I'm on the sheep's trail. I don't like that message of sovereign grace. Well, evidently you're not one of the ones I'm looking for. I'm looking for one who loves the message of grace, who loves the message of substitution, who loves the message of satisfaction. You see, there are those that God makes to live spiritually. He makes them to live eternally to the praise and the glory of His holiness and His justice, which was satisfied in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And there are those who will be left to their own devices, left in spiritual death, who must perish in eternal ruin. And that's also to the praise of the glory of God's holiness and God's justice. You see, God's going to get the glory by you and me and everybody else. He's going to get the glory. Either in our salvation or in our damnation. He's going to get the glory. There are some people in this world God knows. Now, He knows all about everybody. But in the Bible, we read of a people that the Lord knows. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And there's another group of people that He's going to say to them in the last day, even though they brag about what they've done for Him, He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I know these. I don't know you. I've known these forever, but I've never known you. What in the world is He talking about? He's known us in love. He's known us in Christ Jesus. He's known us in that He saved us by His grace. Amen. Here are the children of light and the children of darkness. Which group ye in? Which group ye in? Well, I'll tell you, the children of light manifest these characteristics. They fear the Lord. What it says here. Look at verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? They fear the Lord. They worship the Lord. And I would just take this question that Brother Isaiah wrote by the leadership of the Spirit of God, and I take it out and I'm going to ask you, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Among this congregation, among those who are watching, who is among you? Who is among us that feareth the Lord? That worships the Lord? You see, to fear the Lord is to have a respect for God, is to have a reverence for God in your soul. Well, if there's one thing that's evident today among men, there is no fear of God in their eyes. No fear of God. But that's true of all of us. Now, this isn't a slavish fear. It's not, I'm afraid of God. But I have a respect and a reverence for God. Who among us that has a respect and a reverence for God? I'll liken it to this. Let me use an illustration. Back in 75, my dad got sick with pancreatic cancer. And he had been sick for several weeks before it was diagnosed. And when it was diagnosed, the doctors told him he got 30 days. He died exactly 30 days from the day that they did exploratory surgery. But toward the end, he was just fading away, losing weight rapidly. And you've seen folks die of cancer. You've had similar experiences, several of you have, as you've watched loved ones, people you know, They just get down to skin and bone. Well, my dad didn't have any strength. But when I talked to him, I had a respect for him. I had a reverence for him as my father. I listened to what he had to say. My God is my Father. Now, I listen to what he has to say. I tell you, people who are children of light, they listen to what God has to say. They listen to his word. They respect him. They hear. When the Lord said, "Hear what I have to say," I said, "Speak, Lord. I'm ready to hear.
Amen.
I'm ready to hear." See, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Got a respect for the Lord. I'm listening to you, Lord. I'm listening. Boy, if God would let us shut our mouths and open up our ears. Well, I'll tell you, preacher, that's just your opinion. I've heard that a few times. Well, I can study the Bible as good as you can. Go ahead. But the Bible does say something about how shall they hear without a preacher. Oh, I've dealt with smart alecks before. Yeah, I have, and probably will again. But I tell you, the children of light, they fear the Lord, and they say, "Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. I need a word from God." I hope when you came here today, you came with this attitude, "Lord, I need to hear from you today. I need a word from God today. Lord, have a word for my soul from the preacher, would you, Lord? Lord, you don't owe me anything, but I'll tell you, I'm your child. And Lord, I'm in darkness. I've got troubles, Lord, and I know it's all according to your providence, but Lord, you see my tears. You know how my heart aches. Oh God, I reverence you and I respect you. Would you speak to me today?" See, that's the attitude of a child of light. Isn't it? Speak, Lord, like old Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm listening." And they have this quality too. They obey the voice of his servant. That's what children of light do. They obey the voice of his servant. They obey the voice of his preachers who say, "Look to the Lamb of God." They say, "I'm looking then. I'm going to obey you." But more than that, they obey the voice of the servant of God, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the servant. He's the servant. Look back here in verse 5 of this chapter 50 of Isaiah. Here's the servant of the Lord. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." He's the obedient servant. "I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I didn't hide my face from shame and spitting." There's God's servant. God's servant who humbled himself and became a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You obey the voice of the servant. And you know what the servant of God said? You know what Christ the Lord says? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." And when he says that to your heart, you say, "Lord, here I come. Here I come. I'm obeying the voice of the servant of God. Here I come. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Here I come, Lord. And I'm going to turn up the cup of salvation and I'm going to drink it. Because I'm a poor, needy sinner, and I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your righteousness. I need forgiveness of all of my sins. I know it's found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll take the cup of salvation freely and drink it to the satisfaction of my poor soul." Obey the voice of the servant. That's what the children of light do. Well, I'll pick up right there tonight from this passage of Scripture, the Lord willing. What are we going to sing?